is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
I just love the idea of like Caligula being like, more absurdity. I don't have the joke. I just like the idea of Caligula that's having a podcast.
Fair. Oh, the Caligula. That's a great. I'm going to do it.
Going to have Caligula's podcast.
I'm going to just do Caligula having a podcast.
He would be the one.
What would be about? I know what it would be about.
What would it be about?
Oh, just like how funny it is that other people aren't you and you can do whatever you want to them.
I think that's definitely what it would have been about.
Yeah. I realize that as soon as I start lying down, I get too comfortable. But let's keep going. I'll stay on my toes.
2, 3, 4. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Calling it Talk 30 to me, it is great.
Hi, I'm Kelsey.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Podcast all about 30 Rock.
Yep, pretty much 30 Rock. Also about other things, but mainly 30 Rock.
Mostly 30 Rock.
Sometimes sandwiches, sometimes a lot of things.
A lot of things.
But we love it.
We have Joe with us again.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
You're not holding your mic. You should hold your mic.
I'm just propping it up on my chest.
You're holding it on your chest. I mean, this is working for you, too.
Propping it up on my chest. That's like, right.
It's a visual gag on a podcast, and I'm really enjoying it. You're killing the two in here, so it's working.
There you go.
A reminder from last week, Joe is a stand-up and a sketch writer and just an all-around funny dude who's really invested in the scene out here, and I've worked with him on a show, and he's just all-around a lovely person who I'm really excited to have on the show. We talked a lot about your relationship with 30 Rock. I would love to hear a little bit about your relationship with comedy. I'd love to just do a couple minutes. How did you get into comedy? Were you like that kid who was like 8 and like doing jokes in front of the class? Like, what got you to where you are now?
I would say Fountain.
Oh, is that a Betty Davis joke?
Yeah, there you
Damn
go.
It.
Sitting on it. How do you get to Hollywood? Fountain.
There's a very famous mural.
I was like, what?
I was intrigued that you pointed at her. There's a very famous mural on Fountain near Santa Monica. It's Normandy and Santa Monica, and it's a painting. It's on the street fountain, and apparently they asked Betty, I think Johnny Carson asked Betty, so how'd you end up at Hollywood? And she's like, or how'd you get to Hollywood? She's like, take Fountain, which is a street.
What's the best way to get to Hollywood? Take Fountain. It just occurs to me now that like what the difference is between how do you get to Hollywood? Take Fountain. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. What a difference. Hollywood is just, you just show up. Yeah. Like a lesser traveled street.
Exactly.
At Carnegie Hall, you got to practice. So that's why I do comedy. You don't have to practice.
Not at all.
But you really do. Mm-hmm. And
did you see the look of confusion on my face when you said that? I'm like,
I was just really trying. You like looked over to her. You fanned. And it's because it was easier. You fanned her. Of all the people, the person who's not from here. It was so funny. Yeah. I get you. That took me a sec, but I got you. I know that Betty Davis quote. I love Betty Davis. She's one of my heroes.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Anyway, so besides taking Fountain, how'd you end up in comedy?
I guess because you can do it all the time is the answer, I guess. So here's the thing. I always wanted to, I guess, I don't know, the youngest of four boys, got bullied a lot in a lot of different ways. Although in school, like I was always the class clown, but also doing others, played a lot of sports, always the funny guy on the team type thing. And then just always loved comedy. I guess watching comedy and really ingesting it and digesting it. And then next thing you know, I was like, I don't want to go to law school. But really what it is...
you had a Dimitri Martin.
How long do I not have to go to law school? No, it really... I don't know. It's something that I always wanted to do. And don't feel like I can not do, if that makes sense.
No,
do you remember
that's awesome.
Like watching somebody when you were younger, like you're watching the TV and you're like, I want to do that one day?
Well, actually, I remember very distinctly watching Kevin Spacey and The Iceman Cometh on Broadway.
You're a House of Cards.
And wanting to do that. So being a serious dramatic actor.
Dang.
And that's the thing. It's like part of me is like, this is every comedian, but not. I don't know. Like in college, I played rugby, but then was also acting and then had a series of injuries, which allowed me to act more. And then, uh, but
doing Shakespearean acting was something that I love, and I still do. And part mm-hmm. of me is like, I should just go to London and do Shakespearean acting because I love it. But comedy is one of those things that I've always loved, and I don't need to wait for an audition. In a way, it's like you can get up and do it mm-hmm. at all time. You always be creating. Yeah. And
the ABC.
Yeah, ABC.
So do you primarily see yourself, because I've seen you in a lot of forms. I've seen you do sketch. I've seen you obviously do stand up. I've seen you do interviews. I've seen you. I think the only thing I haven't seen you do is act. Do you see yourself primarily as something, or do you see yourself as like an amalgamation of those things?
I would say I see myself in the mirror. Oh, boy. Oh, what is happening? Is he going to give her a sincere answer or deflect with a lazy joke? You'll never know. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. There's an answer that you have to really focus mm-hmm. on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy writing a lot because I can take it with me, or rather, it's something that I can continually work on. I love to perform stand-up. Unfortunately, not as much time being devoted to that as a result of XYZ. Still doing it, obviously. And sketch, I also used to do a lot of improv, and I still do. So, for instance,
yes.
This is the thing. I think I really love the talk show
mm-hmm.
because it's a mix of sketch, character work, stand-up, improv. Like, I don't know. I think because it's so varied in a way, something that, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the show when I'm a musical guest,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's character work. It's sketch. Yeah. There's at the beginning of the show, it's conceptual and whatever, and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too navel-gazy about myself, but I am lying down with my head tilted up, so it's
easier.
It's easy to
like it's in your eye line.
Exactly.
For sure.
Again, I don't know if this, you're definitely going to cut that earlier part, but I'd like to think I'm reclining right now, which is, again, how Romans podcast.
It's exactly how they podcast it.
So it's
oh no, here we go again.
I'm not gonna muse on it.
You're mixing your mythologies. It's mm-hmm. messy.
Oh, it's very messy
what they told C.S. Lewis. Mm-hmm. We do have you in a very like therapy situation right mm-hmm. now with the way you're sitting. All we have to do is be on the other side
yep.
of you, and then we can get some real deep answers.
Yeah, well, you did. You asked me why I'm a comedian. It's like, well, because existential void. I don't know. What are you going to say? What are you going to do but laugh at it? So I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Well, no, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm so glad you're here again. And I'm excited we're going to talk about this great episode.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we have a
30-30.
30-30.
30.
30. 30. 30. 40.
No.
You do it again. No. Cut me out.
Okay, no, I'm only doing it again because I really hope you're going to do something else. 30-30. 30-30. 30-30. 40.
I did it again. I'm sorry.
Oh, it just slipped.
I just couldn't.
I made a promise and I forgot.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's good. Kelsey, it's your turn to do a 30-30 this week. Also, if you happen to have one, like, I saw this or I saw that or I was thinking about this, you feel free to chime in at your turn. You're so happy right now. Kelsey, what's your 30-30?
So I watched the first 2-3 episodes of Sherry Shepherd's new show, Trial and Error.
Is she on Trial and Error?
Yep.
Is that show? Oh, that show looks very anything Lithgow does. I'm intrigued.
It's interesting. It has a very kind of Parks and Rec feel to it. It's a show. John Lithgow's character is accused of murdering his wife. You know, typical.
It's a jinx thing. It's like how do we make the jinx funny? That's what I imagined the show was, right?
What are you?
You both are looking at me like, did you guys not see the documentary, The Jinx?
It was already really funny though. So
I guess I didn't see it. That's
no,
a problem.
I'm joking. Okay, it
was comedy on its own. Do you know what I'm talking about when I see The Jinx?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. You remember how Serial was like murder, true life,
Durst? Yeah.
No.
Okay, so we start off first. We have Serial. It's the beginning of like America's falling back in love with true crime. It's already been, but that was a big thing.
Yeah.
And then the next thing that happened is HBO did the series about this guy who hadn't. He'd been in pretty much, it was very clear he killed 3 people, but he'd always gotten away with it.
Okay.
And he went in the bathroom and was talking to himself. I'm just ruining the jinx. Spoiler for the jinx. He went in the bathroom, was talking to himself, and admitted to murdering the third person. Like, but I did it. And he confessed and forgot his mic was still on. So the documentary proved that he was guilty and got him put back in jail. It was this huge phenomenon.
I've never heard of it.
No, that's so funny. Don't even worry about it. And then the next one was Making a Murderer, which everyone talked about.
Right.
So Making a Murderer came after. It was like literally in sequence, these big mystery things. She can get it. in there. It's fine. Henny's trying to get into our podcast equipment bag, which is my suitcase. So that's the jinx. That's what he's talking about. Trial and error is spoofing the jinx.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And no, does that change it for you?
I mean, no.
No, but no, interesting. But so, sorry, tell us about trial and error. I didn't mean to make this
it's
my 30.
It's just like the jinx.
I mean, am I right to say it's spoofing the jinx?
I haven't seen
me neither. Yeah,
that's like each it's there. And there's the lawyer comes into town and is trying to, you know, prove him innocent. And yeah, I guess at the end of every episode, there's always something that they're like, oh, we're so close to proving that he didn't do it. And then you find out, oh, he's having an affair with a man, though. You're like, well, OK,
spoilers.
Yeah, sorry. Spoilers.
It's fine. I just spoiled all of the jinx.
It's fine.
Just but call me.
It's shot in the same style. I wasn't put on the same level as Parks and Rec, but it's shot in the same style as Parks and Rec.
So it's like a hand.
The documentary, like the main lawyer guy, the actor's Nicholas something or other. He like does a lot of Jim Halpert stuff, like the office of. Like looking at the camera, like, can you believe this stuff? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're just trying to circle back. Sherry Shepherd, her character is a lady who suffers from a whole mess of really bizarre diseases. Like, she straight up doesn't see people's faces, and because of that, she compensates by looking at people's feet sometimes. And she, when she sees something beautiful, she faints, and just has like every time something new happens, she's like, oh, by the way, I also have this disease. So she just gets to be a funny character who passes out a lot.
This show does not make sense in my mind.
It sounds like wacky.
It sounds very wacky.
Like the law
office. The tone in the trailer
is
wacky.
The law office is in a taxidermy office. And so there's all these taxidermied animals everywhere. And so Sherry Shepherd, she's part of the team that.
What is this channel on? What is it on?
It's on Hulu. Okay. I don't know what it's actually on.
It's NBC.
Is it NBC?
I've just had a confirmation from a representative. It's on NBC.
Okay.
An unnamed representative.
Can I make a recommendation?
Yeah, I can make a recommendation.
I don't know am I cutting you off?
No, go for it.
Patriot on Amazon.
It looks cool.
It is the best thing that I've seen.
Yeah.
Without
is it comedy or like, is it
I'm
sincere?
I'm including the birth of my daughter. I don't have a daughter. No, it's. Oh my God! It's just so good, and it's—I mean, hopefully, it gets a second season.
Harry
I don't
Quinn.
Know. It's
ooh,
yeah. And Kurtwood Smith. Oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
These are a lot of people. Kurtwood yeah. Smith—that's a what? Mm.
The dad from that 70s show.
Yeah,
yes. Oh,
so
interesting.
Good. Anyways, the show is like—is
it funny?
Yes, it's the funniest thing I've seen, and that's also saying like it is bleak. The reason why it's so funny is because of the bleakness, because it pulls you in all the directions, like. It's on one hand like the saddest show that I've seen, like legitimately, but also the absolute funniest thing. It's like imagine if somebody decided to make In Bruges series. So if you liked In Bruges,
I'm really on board now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's about a spy who
is he trying to retire?
No.
Oh, he's not retired.
No, it's that he's
I don't know why I assumed.
Everything just goes wrong.
I'm really interested. I love In Bruges.
In Luxembourg. It's so good.
Remind me to talk to you about Three Billboards later. I don't want to do it now, but we'll talk about it later. Can you do that amazing thing you do where you connect Patriot to 30 Rock that you just did with my 30-30? Is there a way to do it?
What was your 30-30?
Mindy Kaling and Cory Booker.
Oh, good Lord.
No. But you just connected. But you connected mine to 30 Rock somehow.
Oh, I
Can
did.
Can you connect his to 30 Rock in an amazing way? You're really good at that. You don't have to. I just wanted to give you the opportunity.
Kudu Burger is such a patriot.
Oh, there we go. It's political.
Oh.
You did a good job. I'll take that. That's perfect. I'll check it out. I'll let you know what I think. That sounds interesting. Amazon's killing it with their comedy. They have a very particular tone. They're really like, they're just really standing out. I'm very impressed. All right, Kelsey, take us away.
All right. Our episode today is Cooter.
Cooter.
Air date was May 8th, 2008. Director was Don Scardino and writer was Miss Tina Fey. And this episode won Tina Fey an Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Writing for a Comedy Series.
This is a beautifully written episode. Yep. She gets another Emmy for them to bet at their poker game.
The reason this episode is called Cooter, because cooter is one of Tina Fey's favorite words, and she thinks it is the least graphic way for describing female genitalia.
Ooh.
That changes it a little bit.
The graphic isn't the word, it's the visual. And so once you give it a definition, it just becomes graphic again.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by that, though.
Yep.
I don't know. That's how words work in my mind. Literally in my mind. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right. Well, walk us through what is the episode about?
My recap.
I don't know if that's the least graphic.
I feel like there must be much less graphic.
Mystery.
There we go.
A woman's mystery.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. Unmentionable. I guess more underwear, but still.
That's so gross to me, and I don't know why.
A woman's mystery.
I don't. That sounds like something that would be said like the bottom, like an American Girl doll book, when like my changing body and like
yes.
your mystery is like.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, no, you're so 100% accurate on that.
Maybe
that's
why, because it's so creepy.
Yeah, I think that like don't call it mystery. That's just. No.
Kelsey is so uncomfortable right
I'm
now.
I'm not on board in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. My recap of the episode. There are four storylines happening. Tracy's porn video game is in its final stages of creation. Jack is in Washington, D.C. Liz thinks she might be pregnant. And Kenneth worries about not being able to work the Olympics.
It's a good one. There's your Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It all comes full circle. You see 30 Rock for the first time in Beijing. We end our podcast discussing 30 Rock in Beijing.
Synergy.
Yeah, I didn't know this when I called you, but it's perfect.
It's like
absolutely
you.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just broadly about this episode. I think it's brilliant. I think it's really interesting to watch it post Bush, because I think obviously this came out during the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it was that thing where it was harder to watch then because it was very real. And I'll say, I'm more conservative. I'm pretty middle of the road. And I didn't have the anger people did with Bush. And so I didn't feel it as much. But in the past, particularly year, I listened.
Let's just stop that for a second. The hiccup.
Oh, that's a thing.
But it was well timed for, like, I didn't have as much anger as I have for Bush. And then punctuation.
It's just this thing I do.
Kelsey's been hiccuping since she was 8 years old.
I've had him since I was 13.
I know. I'm not making fun of that. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying the timing was.
I practiced that.
Yeah. She's really good at it.
I did it off mic that time.
You did it good.
Comedy is all about.
Yep. Right.
Oh no! I basically just want to say, as an appendix to this episode, I really wish people would listen to the Dollops episode about the Iraq War. I think it's one of their best episodes. The Dollop is an American history podcast. It's one of my favorite. It's Gareth Andrews and Dave Anthony. And it is insane. It's my favorite podcast right now, I think. And their Iraq War one is delightful. Now, I think they come at that episode. They talk about in a normal comedy way, they go to extremes for the joke. And sometimes I feel like I wish they'd be a little fairer to things that happened and to people's intentions. I think they're unfair. But I think overall, they really nail a problem that was happening in the Iraq War. And I think it's a really good thing for people to listen to. And that really influenced, as I watched this episode, I kept thinking about that episode of The Dollop.
What's their thesis?
Basically, I would say that the whole episode of The Dollop is basically asserting, and it's a thing that I think people knew before, but I think it's even clearer now. You can't approach a different culture's problems with a Western culture and just expect that Western culture to have all the answers, right? So they came in and they tried to bring, the goal was, we want to bring democracy to this other country. And we thought democracy is something that's outside of all cultures. And I think we learned very quickly, I think freedom and equality is something that belongs outside of all cultures, but maybe a Western democracy is not. And they basically talked about how they didn't go for like understanding the different culture. They went for, here's American values. Here's someone who knows American values well. Establish this in Iraq. And so there just wasn't a huge understanding of the culture and the political system they were stepping into. I think it's a lot of what Serial Season 2 was about, which was the fact that this war is ill-handled because we don't understand the people we're dealing with. We don't understand their culture. I thought it was a really beautiful thesis. I thought it was really well stated. Again, I think they really go hard on what people's intentions and heart was in it. I tend to think a lot of the people in that, I hope that people in that administration wanted what was best. Even if it was mishandled, but the Dollop goes very far in the other way, where they feel like it was deeply corrupt. I have no idea, but I think it's a really incredible podcast.
Well, I think that the point that it seems to work everywhere in the world that the British touched. In terms of,
we really, think imperialism.
Just imperialism really worked out for like everybody.
Everyone's fine.
Everybody's fine.
No one's still angry about
Nobody's
that.
Nobody's still
India's
angry
doing
about
great.
India's doing great. The Middle East, that's
super smooth.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong over there.
No.
Yeah. Anyways, we don't need to get into the Iraq War, but I do have.
I'm sure you have feelings about it. And please listen to this episode and let me know what you think.
If I may, in terms of if we're going to do podcast recs like that, we were talking Roman history. I love this guy. I think it's Michael Duncan, like History of Rome podcast, which is, I was listening to.
I've heard
to
the
back.
Name.
It's great. It's just like a great podcast. I'm a classicist or studied in college. And then, you know, it's just like a fun, it's a story that I like to hear over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Okay.
But then he started when the history of Rome ended. So he did like a ton of content. New podcast called Revolutions, which is another, but it's
interesting.
Again, in-depth look at specific revolutions. And the question is like, what actually is a revolution?
Okay.
How does it happen? What are the phases? Like, really looking at it, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to like, oh, then this happened.
What have been successful ones? That sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Or unsuccessful. I mean, it's like, yeah, so the first one that he did was the English Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Something I didn't realize, right? So we talk about how, oh, the framers of the Constitution, they read Locke, all these things. And it's like, yeah, these guys are writing in the midst of the English Civil War, in response to the English Civil War. The colonists who came to the United States are refugees from the English Civil War. They had already thought very deeply for multiple generations about democracy.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, they came to the United States and, oh, we're doing this. It's like, no, this was in terms of an intellectual tradition.
Long-term coming.
Long-term. So it's not just like you can just, and I'm not saying this about anything. I'm not saying it's prescriptive or anything like that. Something that maybe I should have known, and maybe people are like, oh, this guy's an idiot. I am. But at the same time, being more and more aware of like, no, this is very much, this was very much so part of American culture in a much bigger way. And that's kind of where it came from. And it came from attempts to install it in the first place, or a form of democracy, and that failed. That's all.
Huh. Interesting. I want to check that podcast out. It sounds amazing. I'm always looking for good history podcasts. So interesting.
Yeah. Guys like Cromwell are a lot more interesting than we... In the UK, they love him. Love Cromwell. Ooh. All these... But also more than that. All these guys. Anyways, it's not important. Let's keep going.
Well, no, I love this episode. I love how they deal with it. I think it's a really funny dealing with the Bush administration and poking on very specific things. I just love... I don't know how Matthew Broderick... How did Ferris Bueller go from... How did Matthew Broderick go from Ferris Bueller to, like, the character he had in Election and this character, which is very much like his character in Election.
He was also Inspector Gadget.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
That's what I think of him as.
That's reasonable. That's reasonable. He was Inspector Gadget.
I still haven't seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So, like, I'm sure if I'd seen that, that's what... But the first thing
I... still haven't seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off? I mean, like, it's just, like, one of those things that's, like, okay.
Yeah, but everyone... No.
That everybody loves. I mean, it's, like, it's good, but it's...
Everyone's seen it. Like, I get references that are made... Like,
it's
iconic. But...
It's good.
But how do you get this guy? So, I mean, you understand... I mean, everyone understands that Ferris Bueller is the cool guy, right? Like, everyone talks about cool guy. And then you get, like... Inspector Gadget, and you get Election, and then you get, I mean, he was War Games, and now he's this. Like, that journey to being like hot, edgy, relatable, cool guy to like sweet and kind of pathetic in these movies, it fascinates me, that journey he has gone on. And it's not saying anything about him as an individual. Matthew Broderick is a delight and has a very successful career. But this fascinates me, this transition. And he plays it so well as Cooter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was what's it called? I'm forgetting his name. He's Gene Wilder's character in The Producers on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Like this nebbish.
Sweet dope. Yeah.
Yeah, this nebbish. I think I have an answer for that, and I'm not being mean when I say it. It's you get heavy. You get heavy.
Yeah.
Like Alec Baldwin, like one of my favorite moments in 30 Rock is when he's like, this is a picture of me at 25. She's like, that's a Superman chest. It's
she's
like,
oh my.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin,
this total hunk. Like, and I mean, he's still, don't get me wrong.
Didn't
still
the word
is, but
Baldwin,
like,
it wasn't used in the 80s as hot guy? Like, oh, he's such a Baldwin.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but now, and again, I'm not.
You're not knocking his worth as a person. You're talking about
his
persona.
Yeah. Whatever. But it's like, oh, yeah, he's always going to wear a jacket.
Yeah.
Because he's always going to be hiding his figure.
Yeah.
Because he and Matthew Broderick get pear shaped. And that's not on them. That's not on them. I'm not saying
you're not knocking it, but it's the truth.
I'm saying that it's like, oh, this is, it's just the nature of when you're an actor.
That's interesting. He's always going to wear a jacket.
Alec Baldwin is, you know, but it's like, oh, you can turn that into an alpha. Can wear that weight well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Matthew Broderick can wear that weight well. He's not going to be. He can play. I'm sure. I mean, he can.
He's in some things. I just don't see it. He's often playing this character.
His clown. His nebbish clown is such a good clown.
And he does such a good job. You feel for him. You always he garners sympathy in a very intensive way.
Well, he's got such a kindly voice.
And
it's really
his eyes.
Voice. He's got that boyishness.
Yeah.
That's trapped inside of a lot of Haagen-Dazs. I'm not body shaming.
Yeah, no,
I
want to
be very clear about that.
Because there's a thing when you're an actor, how you look affects your persona and the way people can perceive your characters and whatnot. So you're being straight on that kind of thing. So I feel you. I want to just go to the first scene where they talk about the war on the poor.
You
is that
mean
the second
war?
Time they've made that joke, or is this the only time they make it? I'm just
I don't
thinking
think
of
they've
this.
Made it.
I love that joke. The war on the poor. Don't you mean the war on poverty? Sure, we'll call
that.
It's so good.
Lemon, I have to go. It's time for my freedom, sir.
Yes, that's
as the guy's
one.
Putting on the gloves.
I love the use of the term freedom in that era. Like, that's going to be a thing that in 20 years our kids aren't going to get when we make that joke, but like freedom anything is just so of the time.
Yeah, it is going to be a joke because freedom won't exist. Hashtag resist, everybody. No, I know, but it's true. You're right. No, there's a time freedom fries. And, but that's also like, I'm pretty sure in the Capitol it still says freedom fries. Like, again, when I interned for Anthony Weiner, do I mention it? Not that often, actually. But it's relevant here. But when I interned
for
Anthony
Weiner. It really aids your comedy career.
It did.
It really did.
He did so much to help me by a lot of therapy. I'm joking. Not at all. That's just. I could. Anyways, let's keep going. The point is, leave it a mystery. A woman's mystery. Oh, no, that's right. Too. Anyways, right. Let's drop it. Let's keep going. The point is, they had in
a woman's
the
freedom.
Senate, in the Capitol. I'm peeking.
Well played, Kelsey. You're doing great.
In the Capitol cafeteria. Yeah, freedom fries. Still there. That was also early on. But I think they're still there. I'm not positive. The notion of freedom is also going to change. Like when, I know it's dead now, but we, second Paul Ryan reference, one of those things that's just amazing when he's trying to sell, when he was trying to sell healthcare is the freedom to not have insurance or the freedom, but basically this notion, like twisting around what freedom is to some like degree of whatever, like the freedom to buy whatever you want.
Mm.
And it's like, that's not what, freedom, you're being very free.
Yeah, very
with how
loose
you're
with
trying
that.
To define what freedom is.
Mm.
Is all that it is.
Interesting.
That's yeah. Anyways, that was a digression. Anyways, I'm slouching back down. I'm gonna sit
you
back
sat up.
Up
for a minute and then. That's,
I think when I'm sitting
just...
up, I'm a lot less plaintive. I used the word plaintive, so I'm still
a little bit contemplative, but maybe not quite in depth.
We can hang out on the Jack storyline in DC for a little bit. I think we probably have.
Oh, it's just one of the best. This is probably one of my favorite Jack episodes of all time. I think of it all. I think about it so much. Him as a politician.
I like so Jack is in DC, right? And he's got his new titles. He has a different title in this episode than he did in the last episode. Oh no, that's Cooter. Cooter's title is the vice chair of farm subsidies, acting head of FEMA, temporary acting head of the FBC while the acting head is on trial.
Oh, it's so dark. Careful, she's looking like she might bite you.
She doesn't like me very
much. Yeah, she's so mad.
Kimmy was just talking in the third person.
Yep. not Henny.
That was a cat.
Went straight for my arm.
Yeah, she does that. Did I tell you the other week I was crying and she bit me? I was about to
deal with it.
I was like upset about something. Oh, it's fine. People cry. I was just like about to go to Iceland and I was crying about something and she's walked up to me and bit me. I was like, you
man up,
bitch. Henny. Ugh, what a meanie.
Like, and?
One of my favorite lines in this bit is when he's talking about he was in a we don't call him a lame duck, we call him a lame eagle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I prefer to call him a lame
that.
Eagle.
Oh my gosh.
And I just
so
love
good.
All the ceiling appears to be leaking. No, it's not. We looked into it, it's not. And it just, it's, I'm like, I swear those real conversations are happening right now in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That you're probably saying things you shouldn't. No, I'm fine. I didn't say those. Okay.
We have you on record.
It's leaking.
Yeah.
There are no leaks.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, there's just a lot of really beautiful political metaphors in this episode. She does a great job with her analogies. Is that what these are? Metaphors? Metaphors. These are metaphors.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think in this case, yeah. I think it's
a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor,
metaphor,
but it's also just a... it's kind of a reductio ad absurdum is more what it is.
Ooh,
I'm sitting up
that.
And I'm still not fun.
Dang.
I used to be. It's just taking an idea and making it taking it all the way to the absurd. Mm-hmm. It's taking an argument and making it go to its logical conclusion, but taking it into absurdity.
Got it. Okay.
Right? Got it.
So it's a standard thing. So the idea being like, if not that this is what it is, but an easy George Bush reference is saying mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, actually they're engaged in civil war. It's like, no, they're not. We toppled it. War in Iraq's over. Oh, then you're going to go so far as to say, it's like you're going to piss on my back and tell me it's raining type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, I know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just saying it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Reductio ad absurdum. QED.
Sounds like a Harry Potter spell.
Yep. That's what I thought too, actually.
Yeah.
It's because both are a bit Latin.
Right. Yeah. One of them is.
One is fully Latin and yes. Latin, and Harry Potter is mainly Latin.
Is Harry Potter? I was referring to Harry Potter as the Latin one.
Oh,
the other one is
just
a spell. It's a spell that symbolic philosophers say,
and then it magically makes you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Not true, but still. Also, it makes me sad that the leak happens every time the toilet flushes. Real gross. Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Just real gross.
Gross. No.
Well, you don't know where the pipe is though, because it could be the intake. You know,
Here's hoping. We talked about this on a different episode
where it was quoting like an AV Club article or something where they were like you know that where you're drinking water from a drinking fountain and the water pressure just dips when the toilet flushes, like, you know, there's no connection, but it's just kind of gross when you think about that there's something.
Oh, it's so gross that we have indoor plumbing, and yeah, it's not as efficient as it could be.
You're gonna pull a Rome reference again.
That we have this magic system. It's true. That we have this magic system providing us with
Louis C.K. on Dave Letterman five years ago,
and it's just you found out that the plumbing has Wi-Fi.
Perfect. Beautiful. Beautiful. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, anyway, I bet it's true.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. So Cooter, all the goal right now is the episode is to get them pens, right? That they want to get pens for the department. And I the writing on the post-it notes always gives me goosebumps because it just reminds me of nails on a chalkboard when they're writing on the post-it notes with the pen cap, like, or the he's using a paperclip first, mm-hmm. I think. And he's just scratching the notes with the paperclip. And so they
sad.
Order pens, and in comes in a giant box of pen caps.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of the actual pens.
Just caps. It's only caps.
I think there might be a reference. I think there might be a reference. Not only is it like, oh, that's great, like, might be an Iraq war reference.
Oh, for sure. Does that have to do with supplies?
Yeah, it probably has to do with like something not actually being delivered.
Yeah, that's possible. Like the freedom they promised.
Mm. Oh, because that comes in a box.
Yes, it does come in a box. It comes with a bow
box.
On it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. No, yeah, that pens thing is just so sad.
Yeah, I know.
The whole thing is just so sad.
I'm constantly referencing other TV shows, I feel like, that later on when he's like, my name's not really Cooter, it's James Riley. The president called me Cooter because I look like a turtle, and Burger because he saw me at a meeting eating a hamburger one time. He's like, it wasn't even a hamburger. But that reminds me of in The Office where Andy calls Jim Big Tuna because he was eating a tuna sandwich.
NBC joke.
Yep, right?
NBC brand
joke.
Sandwich
I'm reference.
Making this a thing now. If there's two or more jokes like it on NBC, I'm just calling it NBC brand joke.
NBC brand joke. Cooter is a funny word.
It is a funny word. I actually really want to run a competition. If more than three people tweet at me after this episode, I will work really hard to rename my roommate's turtle Cooter Burger.
What's the name right now?
It's Kidney Bean.
Kidney Bean.
Or I can name the little one. Little one Squirt. Tweet at me. Three people or more. That's all I'm asking. I will name I'm going to rename the turtle I live with, and I'll post a photo of it.
That's Kimchi Lucas.
It's going to be Cooter Burger. Or at the Talk 30 to me. I don't find.
Okay. Can I just throw in
an extra part of the competition? Yeah. / just people tweet at me. If you tweet at me, I'm going to do a thing.
Bodie McBoatface.
Oh, I would love to have Bodie McBoatface live on.
You should.
I'll work on naming the other one Bodie McBoatface. Okay.
Because
okay?
you know that they named the sub. They did it.
Oh, God. The internet's
amazing. Bodie McBoatface is just like a good thing.
The internet's amazing.
Oh, it can be such a good place sometimes.
I love it. Good old Bodie McBoatface. Okay, Kelsey, please continue. I'm sorry.
Well,
that went such a great direction.
This storyline ends with Jack trying to resign, Cooter saying he's not going to accept his resignation, and how Cooter has tried to resignate every single day since he got into office. But then, and there's a whole thing with this, the gay bomb, which is based on a real thing.
Wait, what?
That
no,
it like
Shut
it was
up.
An idea. Hang on a second. So it said,
what the? Oh my god. That just makes
Jack's
me very
plot
upset.
In this episode involves his and Cooter's discovery that in 1994 the Pentagon explored blah blah blah. This is not an invention of the episode writers. In 2005, various news outlets reported that in 1994 the U.S. Defense Department had indeed researched the feasibility of a so-called gay bomb meant to disrupt enemy discipline and morale by making them chemically attracted to each other. The idea never left the theoretical stage, and the product was never pursued. The project was never pursued.
The product.
The product. Well,
I really.
Oh, that's a good product.
I really hope that when they said like they were thinking about it, someone was in the room like, "What if there was like a bomb that made people chemically attracted?" And everyone was like, "Shut up, Stan! Your ideas are the worst." Yeah. And that's all it was. But you know it wasn't. You know it was actually discussed, and that's horrifying.
Somebody did some research, and
that's horrifying to me. Or it's so gross.
Or it's just one of these closeted Republicans who's just like came on to somebody. He's like, "Oh no,
somebody actually, let loose the bomb."
Oh no, there was a bomb. I swear, I was. That's I had a wide stance in the bathroom. No,
wide.
You know wide stance, Craig, or what's it? It's said Larry Craig. Is that that's his name?
I don't know. I don't
He's
know.
He's a
that.
Senator from Montana who got arrested in an airport bathroom for tapping. What's it called? A guy's foot next to him at the urinal or in the stall, which is like a code, yeah, a code cruising sign.
Oh,
and
bummer.
And it was an undercover cop. And guess what? Because of the laws that he created, maybe it was in Washington, maybe it was there, is illegal to do that, to solicit sex from a man. And so yeah, this was a big scandal. In the this is like one of the many closeted Republicans.
Well,
who is taken down in a thing like that?
That's like the definition of irony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Right.
Anyways,
oh
my gosh. The moral of the story is, I think that's who it was. It's somebody yeah. like, oh yeah, oh there's a bomb.
I just can't believe. Oh. I had no idea it was based on something real. I'm like real upset right real. Now. That's horrifying.
Oh no, that isn't a glitter on my collar, wife. So I was doing research.
I'm researching
it was a work assignment. Can't talk about it.
Oh God.
But I like that ends because the final scene is them, you know, accidentally spilling the bomb in the little room.
That visual of those three generals starting to caress each other is one of the great moments of 30 Rock.
Well, I like that this joke continues because we hear Jack references
for a long
it later
time.
On too. Yeah.
Oh, what a good they had a Chaney look like in profile. Really good.
They did great.
Really
they
good.
They did real good.
That was like, I think that was, it's exactly like when Joe Biden went on Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
Chaney did a cameo on 30 Rock.
We're not going to tell you what the scene is about, but just no, a show.
Exactly like, they got Chaney.
They got him.
This was after the Quayle incident, so he needed work, right? Same as Alec Baldwin.
He needed work.
another, he had his own Alec Baldwin incident.
That's right. That was one of those things. He's like, yeah, I'll do Dancing with the Stars. I shot a guy in the face.
Oh, no. Poor Chaney. That was a bad day.
Poor
Chaney.
Poor Chaney.
Poor Chaney. He was like, I heard.
Poor
he's like I heard.
Oh,
him.
He didn't. Oh man, that guy.
He didn't have
what
to have all
servant.
This different.
Not a public servant.
Oy vey.
Bill Moyers is buying the war. Is a really good one about how the media didn't do its job, or rather, actively failed in the run up to Iraq. It's about the media's treatment of the Iraq war. Hey, we're having fun.
Got it.
We're
all
having
right.
a blast.
Interesting.
Right? Anyways, the Iraq war.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's interesting. I'll check that out. All right, Kelsey, why don't you lead us to the next thing?
All right, the next thing. I guess we can talk about Tracy's porn video game.
Oh my gosh,
what is it? Gorgasm. Okay,
wait, before we do that, just very quickly, great gag where it's kind of like a when Jack.
I'm sorry.
Up.
I'm so glad you cut me off after saying the word gorgasm.
Gorgasm. Gorgasm is
it's
great.
Hang out there, right? Okay, continue.
That's awesome.
What's anyways, the Jack gag?
The Jack. There we go.
Oh God, we're on a roll.
The Jack gag. No, the there you go. The joke is where he's like, "I'm gonna shine the light," and he takes the lampshade off, and it's a candle.
I love.
Oh my
that.
Gosh, that
it's
joke
so
is wonderful.
Good.
GE,
great visual gag.
It's a great visual gag. It's just such a good. It's such a good idea.
It's so good.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
I just also wanted to back up and I forget treating 3M like a.
Oh, like a skank. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, it's great. These corporate burns.
Yep.
These sort of
the business jokes
like
on the show is insane.
It's like these are jokes that like when you're at like a industry conference that
oh,
crush.
Yeah.
You know, it's
oh, that's okay. So I work in property management, like HOAs and stuff. And there's I don't go to them, but the videos get posted of like industry talent shows every year.
Oh my God.
And like you would watch it and
can
be
you
like,
send these to me?
They did a 12 Days of Christmas thing having to do with homeowners, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Ironically funny or sincerely funny?
Oh, only funny if you were in the industry. Like,
okay.
Absolutely, like,
oh,
tears.
No, I think it's
face.
Funny if you're not in the industry. I think that's who this is actually for.
Because it'll be like 10 on-call calls, and we're like, an on-call call at 4 in the morning. And they're
oh,
like,
well, I get it.
That sort of thing, yeah.
Oh, that slays me.
So good.
I'm not making fun of you. Oh, I'm saying that that these people go back to their husbands and wives.
Oh.
And they're like, this was, and they look at them in the eyes, and they're like, isn't there more to life than this? They don't say that out loud. And then they just think back to when they killed it for a room full of 500 people.
Yeah, right. Property managers. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's a good moment. That's I've never
good.
Killed it in front of that many
never
people.
Killed
it's great.
It.
Oh,
that's
so
I
great.
Have, but that's different.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But you also do this for a living.
But you don't spend your day on the phone with homeowners angry that you're making them take down Christmas lights down on January 15th.
I do, but that's just for my Jerky Boys tribute CD.
Your Jerky Boys tribute.
I just do Jerky Boys on spec.
I just watched that Arrested Development where he's super into the Jerky Boys.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Jerky.
Jerky Boys had a movie. Jerky Boys is huge.
I didn't even know Jerky Boys until I rewatched that Arrested Development. I'm like, oh, that's a thing. That's,
yep.
I just haven't. That's so good, Joe. That's such a good reference.
Anyways.
Oh, I haven't laughed that hard in a while. Thank you. All right. Well, okay. We're
let's
past
move on.
It.
Anyways, Zorgasm, the legend of colon, the legend of Dong Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like a Werner Herzog movie.
I don't normally have any, like, every time I rewatch this, I don't have much of an opinion on this storyline. However, I just started playing because my friend was playing this new video game called Yakuza 0.
I was like, where's this going, Kelsey?
Oh, yeah. Well, so it's I can't tell you everything about it because I'm only on chapter 2.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, spoiler.
On a video game. No, keep going. That's actually
my audience.
In all fairness. That
yeah.
Is
oh,
when
I'm yeah. not so the only there something's happened where you're killing a lot of people, like the right. Yakuza, like all this stuff. But you're like wandering around whatever city you're in Japan, and as you're wandering around, there's like mini games you can play. And one of the mini games I was watching my friend play it. And it's a telephone sex thing. Like, you walk in and you have to be the person having, like, telephone sex with somebody.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the weirdest thing. But they make it a game. Like, the phrase
so it's like Parappa the Rapper, but with...
Reference over my head.
Help us out, man.
PlayStation 1.
No.
What is it?
You're talking to girls who only have sisters.
Yeah.
Talking to
not trying to make it a gender, but like I wouldn't know.
I didn't have any sisters.
No. We're talking girls and sisters, so we did not know PlayStation. Okay,
but
we did not know PlayStation 1.
I didn't have any consoles. I did my research. Is the point, guys? I'm just saying, like I got up. I did my work. I don't know what you guys were doing.
He's shaming us. We're looking bad today, Kels.
Oh God!
But this game. Sorry, I. So this game. So like the words are floating around you. That like the girl say something like, "So what do you look like?" And the words floating around will be like strong, a hamster, like all these weird words, and you have to hit the right word to have the girl have the reaction you want to, and eventually ideally you go on a date with her. But it's all these really and at the same time in the background there's a blurred out version of a girl in a bikini, and as you get answers right and do this other round she stops being blurry and it's just like this girl in a bikini, it's all zooming in on her. You're like, okay, so that's what I kept thinking.
So basically you played a porn video game, are you saying?
I watched, which I don't know if that's any better.
Is that better, Kels?
So, but then, and then there's another mini game that
I think
can...
it just costs less.
And then there was another mini game you can play where you run your own nightclub, like a dance club, and you have to have the girls go over and sit and talk to the men. You know how much money they make, and you have to have them, oh, you like love, you like funny. It's the most bizarre.
What is this Yakuza game?
It's called Yakuza 0. John plays it.
It's so weird.
It occurs to me that I don't think that male-oriented, if you'll say, erotica or pornography is really that well-suited to video games. You know, just like... But it seems like if you did a... I don't know.
Like, for ladies?
like the 30 Rock episode where it's like, well, how was your day today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or rather, you know, it's like Fabio stuff, like riding on a beach.
Just a man.
Just riding on a beach and being like...
I bet if there was an Outlander video game, women would get real. And that's not like hardcore. That's pretty soft. But still, there is a little bit Have y'all not read Outlander?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, it's the one where the woman from the 40s time travels back to like 1600s Scotland and gets assigned to a really hot Scottish guy who they fall in love, and then they go on time traveling adventures saving the world over and over.
Is that not Doctor Who?
Doctor Who doesn't have a beautiful Scottish man who like is always in the kiln helping
you. There might be
one
day. You never know.
You never know. It's true. I know. They always said they didn't want to go above the lakes, but that was weird. Anyway, all I want to say, that was a very specific reference. All I want to say is like Outlander is basically, there's no judgment in Outlander. I think it's actually a really well-written stuff, but it's literally a lady getting rescued and falling in love with a Scottish man who supports her dreams and her ability to take care of herself. And then they travel in time and save the world. It is. And there's like some intense scenes in it. Like it's everything we're discussing.
Wow.
Yeah. Check out Outlander, y'all.
So we get the scene of them recording the noises. I made a note in here because the last time when Jenna started making sex noises and I accidentally did them on the podcast.
So you're not going to do it.
I wrote down,
Didn't you cut it out?
I don't know that you did.
I
don't think you did, actually.
I think I did because you texted me and you're like, can you do that?
I can't remember. I'll have to go back.
And then you said, can I? And then you never spoke again.
Yeah, like, it's awkward. I wrote, don't do noises. But she's like, you know, touch my cheek, touch my chest area.
Are
like,
you
all
still
that
even
stuff.
Saying
I'm not,
it?
No, I'm not doing the
you're
voices.
Not thinking, you're still saying it.
Because she makes noises.
She makes a lot of noises. My favorite in this whole thing is she's doing this and she's
Grizz.
Very good. No, it's not Grizz. It's just Frank giving her the thumbs up. It's so gross.
No, I
that
just like
strange,
Grizz
sweaty
has
man.
A really, really straight face until she starts making the noises, and then he's like yeah. I love Grizz's face. Oh, we also get Frank's hat. This episode is Slowbot.
Oh yeah, he's got a good hat in this one.
Yeah. And so it just ends with him all excited that the video game is done. He gives it to Frank, and then 3 months later he walks out like, it was pretty good, it was all right, or whatever, and he doesn't realize he's been in there playing a porn video game for 3 months.
That is a good. I also just wanted to make sure. I think this has been a good rehearsal. Are we taping?
No, we're starting in just a few minutes.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Cool. Cool.
Nice reference to the taping of Jenna.
Exactly.
Oh, good call.
That's
it was beautifully
that
handled.
I was about to. I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, that
it was beautiful. It was good. It was well handled.
I waited,
that was good.
We're laughing.
And I'm
like
telling
it.
You about it. Just blowing out all the air.
It's
no,
real
that
great.
Was good.
I'm real happy that you did it. I hope next time you do it again.
I just love when Grizz is like,
nice.
I rehearsed my
Correction
lines.
It. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I rehearsed my lines. Oh, yeah. Grizz. I love Grizz. Grizz has a great.
He said, I rehearsed my lines at home.
At home, that's right.
Except the way that he said the last line, it seemed like he was like stump fumbled over it. And I was really hoping. But it would be off character for Grizz, but if it was clear that he was reading off cue cards. That's my note. That's going to be my one. They should have done it differently.
Ooh.
Although at the same time, not really, because in Grizz's character, that makes sense because
yeah.
He's very serious.
Grizz is very serious. God, Grizz has it so good. He doesn't realize how good he has it. Poor .com. Oh, it's rough. It's a rough world out there for .com. He doesn't even get to be in the porn video game. It's hard to be .com.
I mean, he's got to protect his political career.
It's true. That's very true. That's very true. This plotline's really short. Can we talk about Kenneth and
yes.
Jenna? Because this has one of my favorite jokes. It's everyone's favorite joke is this episode.
Which one?
The backdoor brag.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all. I love it so much. It's
just
so funny.
A sigh.
She just drank a can of Sprite.
That's what
and
it
then
sounded
cut
like.
That out. And then just what it sounded like after.
I just love this joke. Backdoor brag.
Yours is can popping. It's pretty mm-hmm. good.
I know.
Talk 30 Rock to Me. Sponsored by La Croix.
La Croix, yes. This is our second episode.
I know we're joking, but please.
Because we had it when we were at my house.
I drink a lot of La Croix. Yep. We all do.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. So since the Olympics are on NBC, mm-hmm.
They got that note. They were like, hey, if you can include the Olympics in this episode, in like one of your episodes, we'd really appreciate
this happened
that.
Before, too, I'm pretty sure, for one of the Winter Olympics.
Or after. What do you mean? Like before in the show?
Yeah, in a different, I can't remember.
It's
what
a later season.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I thought we'd already talked about it, but maybe not.
They do one in a later season to make a Lindsay Vonn joke.
Oh, no. There was definitely one, I think, in season one, because that would have been for the Winter Olympics. And this
was that
the
less
Olympics.
Fun Winter Olympics
yes.
joke? Yes,
yes.
There we go.
They also do, but it's like, first off, if I just may,
I
like that if they... Any reference to the Olympics must be synergy. This one definitely was like
oh,
synergistic
for sure.
mm-hmm. in a way.
Because it was the season finale right before the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, classic. Bob Costas pulling all the strings.
Mm-hmm.
And but then also when, but it's also, yeah, like GE
yeah.
owning NBC. I don't know if this, I think it's
Comcast
now. Comcast
now.
Yeah. But
Anyways, but the point, like, there is product placement.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's great. I'm glad that they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I am also very glad that this lovely pair of Adidas shoes that I'm wearing fit so well. Brought to you by Foot Locker.
I looked at your feet. I'm like, no,
I'm not wearing.
On.
I'm not wearing.
I think, you know what's interesting is I've never really thought about this, but there's only an NBC show could reference the Olympics, and that sounds really bizarre, but NBC is, and the Olympics themselves, they're very, very particular who can use the word Olympics. There was a church group that I'm involved in. They used to do these, like, they used to call them the Awana Olympics. Like, that's the program it is. And it was the Awana Olympics when I was in Awana.
Yeah, it was Awana Olympics when I was in Awana.
In Lama. In Awana. And a couple of years ago, the Olympics came in saying, you need to change the name. We don't want people to get confused. And so they have to call them the Awana, they want call them the Awana Summit Games or something now. Like, this little program that happens, like, they can't use the word Olympics for a bunch of kindergarten through sixth graders running around a circle.
Didn't IO have the same problem?
Yeah.
IO had the same problem.
Yeah,
the Olympics committee, like, chased them down.
Mm-hmm.
Your comedy theater can't have this name. People will get confused.
They're going to show up looking for people jumping over hurdles, and nope, that's next door. Oh, man.
Have they ever been? It's actually quite accurate for comedy.
Yeah.
So we find out that Pete almost went to the Olympics in 1980.
I just love that in every flashback, Pete has the most hair.
Yes.
Like, not just hair. Yes. So much. It just makes the tragedy of Pete so much sweeter, mm-hmm. is that he used to have all that hair, and then it's just gone.
What I love that this reference to him doing archery, it comes back later on.
Oh, it's
too.
A runner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So is Sabora Soledad.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. This is not the first time we've seen it already.
Yeah. I mean, but in terms of they do that, they slingshot a lot of things
constantly.
To the episode.
It's great.
Which is great. Yeah. Love that.
Their character
Titan,
work is
Titan
good.
Irony.
That's why.
Irony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, I know that they said that Tina Fey wrote this, but it sounds more to me like P.G. Woodhouse. Am I right, guys?
Oh, shut
Look
up.
Look at that.
That's her.
No, I'm shaking your hand. I need a handshake.
Oh.
P.G. Woodhouse, what I thank you so much.
Well,
I'm a big
that's
fan.
Her happy place.
I'm a big fan.
We'll talk about
that. Wasn't
that
with
I was
in
named
your car?
After.
P.G. Woodmouse, yes.
Yeah, there we go. You had a P.G. That's,
I'm real into P.G. Woodhouse. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Oh, it's going
to
happen. We have a lot of things to discuss.
Very, very tight. But the thing about it is, I love that for archery, I love that, like, you know, people go to the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and not everybody, like, people go back to their jobs. Like,
oh,
people
right?
have jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And
not everyone makes a career
out of
it. I
just love that there's, like, the vast majority, you know, it's like, oh, I just love that, like, people who are, like, champion marksmen, which
mm-hmm,
is,
mm-hmm.
you know, 100% athletes, but it's like, oh, no, you can... I especially don't want to upset marksmen.
of all the people.
We'll shut this.
I know.
Of all the Olympians.
No, because you don't get, like, huge stadiums full for marksmen. It's an incredible skill, but I would imagine it's really hard to make it, like, a long-term, like, job.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like,
and so you have to go back to a job at some point.
Yeah. There are people who are, like, Olympic rowers.
Yeah.
Just go back to whatever it was.
Real estate or dental hygienist or something.
Yeah, and just crushing it in the talent show.
Yeah.
By rowing, erging for 3 hours.
No, that is a good point. We don't think about it, the fact that a lot of these people end up having these jobs and these, like, oh, yeah, remember that time I was in the Olympics? Great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is really, really interesting and real sad.
Yeah.
And again, poor Pete almost made the
right.
Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carter.
I love that.
Peanut farmer.
I do love that. But I also love just, like, the show's traffic in this. Like, I don't know if you guys are Archer fans or not, but Ray on Archer was an Olympic
skier. I haven't
skier.
Watched it.
Okay.
It's just these little character
details. Is that the
Aisha
Tyler character?
Yeah. Oh, no. It's the blonde guy.
Oh, got it. Ray is
cartoons,
such a gender neutral.
So it's just, you know, colored. And, but I love when they do that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
All.
It's a good backstory piece.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pete, just always tragic. And I love that his archery really, you know, saves the day in the end.
Mm-hmm.
God, nothing more fun than watching Paul Scheer shot with an arrow.
Ugh.
Oh, that poor man. Right in the Achilles heel, too. Do you think they were trying to do that on purpose?
His
it was
calf.
Right. Was it his calf, not
his
Achilles?
Calf.
Damn, I was going to be like, it was an Achilles moment for sure. Troy.
That would have been good.
Note.
Better.
Shoot him in the Achilles
there
heel.
Mm-hmm. That's your criticism.
That's my criticism
episode.
For the day. I also should specify, I do not actually want to see Paul Scheer shot with an arrow. I think very highly of him as a performer.
Except when, like, through the head, like a
Steve Martin style?
Yeah. But not, like, for real, again. I don't want to see
fake.
That. Yeah.
Like a headpiece.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same page.
I like it. I'm like, uh-huh. So Kenneth has to turn in his application to go to the Olympics, mm-hmm. and Donnie foils him and
Donnie,
all that good stuff. And then Jenna does the least selfless thing I think she's ever done.
I see myself in you. Ah, it's so good.
She puts together the essay.
It's so great.
Kenneth.
Well, she teaches him. Okay, I'm going to pull out. Do you think it's okay if I read a section?
Oh,
like,
go
it's really
it.
Short. So this episode has the really famous backdoor brag joke, which is what I was sighing about earlier. It's an amazing joke. And Tina Fey actually talks about it in the Bible. There's a little bit where she's discussing favorite jokes from writers. And it's
talking
a Donald
about in the Bible?
Is that yeah, we call it the Bible. Bands? Yep.
Gotcha.
It's the Bible of this podcast.
I see. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard that and I didn't get the reference. Yeah,
don't That's you why. Worry about it. This is a Donald Glover joke. Everyone loves, particularly me and Kelsey, are hardcore community fans. Yep. We love us some Donald Glover. And she writes, writer was Donald Glover. He had just graduated from NYU. He was our only African-American writer at the time, but his real diversity was he was the only cool young person who could tell us what the kids were listening to. Also became helpful. He came from a large family in Georgia. He was very helpful in writing the character Kenneth the Page. MVP joke, a scene where Jenna is trying to teach Kenneth how to brag about himself in a passive-aggressive way. And then she writes, it's hard for me to pinpoint what I like most about the joke. And it's the one where she says, not even a backdoor brag. And then kind of does, well, what's a backdoor brag? And she's like, it's when you sneak something wonderful about yourself into an everyday conversation. Like when I tell people, oh, it's hard for me to watch American Idol because I have perfect pitch. And then he tries.
He goes, oh, ew.
Ew.
My favorite.
It's hard for me to watch American Idol because there's a water bug on my channel changer.
Yeah, that's it. The water bug.
It's the water bug.
Yep.
And then Tina Fey writes, it's hard for me to pinpoint what I like most about this joke. Is that Kenneth is truly incapable of bragging? The revelation that Kenneth's apartment is crawling with water bugs? No, I think it's the grandmotherly expression of channel changer.
Yeah,
that's true.
It is just such a beautiful joke. It works so well. And I just really, it gets the MVP reference in this. So
which,
I feel like it was worth reading.
I'm now curious. I don't think Donald Glover didn't write it all in Community.
He wasn't a writer on Community.
I don't think he wrote it all, but I'm thinking because there's the whole part in whatever season it is where they do the explain-a-brag and the complisult, where they combine like a compliment and an insult and then explaining a brag.
NBC brand joke.
Yep. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, it's your NBC thing again. But I just couldn't remember.
I'm going to be the worst about this.
I couldn't remember if he also wrote on that sometimes.
This show made a dog joke. NBC brand joke.
Yellow shirt. They're all wearing yellow shirts.
Oh, it's just a beautiful joke. So, but yeah, she gets Kenneth in, and then we have that great sequence where he's getting it in and he's like running the halls.
Yes.
In an Olympic fashion, and then gets to vomit gracefully into a bucket of paint or a bucket of soap. Ah, so good.
We also learned that Donnie, Kenneth, and Jenna all know a little bit of Mandarin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, okay, another bone to pick. Yeah. Here's my pet peeve in shows. I genuinely get frustrated when in shows they say Chinese, not Mandarin or Cantonese.
Ooh.
And this show, it makes sense to me because Jenna says it, and Jenna would be the person to say Chinese, right?
Yeah.
But I'm watching Grace and Frankie. It just came back. I love that show. But Jane Fonda's character, they're talking about someone in Chinatown. She goes, well, he'll say it in Chinese. And I was like, how did that get past the writer's room? This is a smart writer's room.
But that is a very, I think some people really think that they all just speak Chinese.
Here's the thing. That makes sense for Jenna.
I've never seen
No,
that
and that's
show,
what I'm saying.
True, yeah.
It makes sense for Jane Krakowski. Jane Fonda is an intelligent, educated woman in the show.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. It literally, the joke doesn't change. It's not even a joke to say Chinese. Mandarin would have not affected that joke in the least. And it really bothers me. How did that get out of the room? How did not one person say, like, you know, could we just say Cantonese? It's genuinely a pet peeve of mine. It really bothers me.
I think that's very fair.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say sort of upset.
Yeah.
But, no, I was gonna, okay, it does bother me. I can speak a little Chinese. There were some words that they were saying, I was like, I know what this is. And there were some words I was like, I don't. That's that.
See, even when you made the joke, I was like, it just bugs me.
It does. It's...
As it should.
Yeah. In Wayne's World, the movie, they talk in Cantonese. Like, it's a joke, but he's like, oh, like Cantonese. Like, ooh, that's Kowloon side. And part of the joke is like, oh, it's kind of arcane. But it's like, no, it's just, I agree. And it's kind of frustrating because it's like, Mandarin, Cantonese, people really should pay attention to this.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that we have to be able to tell the difference. I could never tell the difference. I just feel like it's such an easy thing, and I think there's such an issue of Asian culture and Asian stereotypes in media and them being just so misrepresented. So, and not like I systematically by media and Hollywood media for the past 70 years, I just think it's a tiny thing we can do is say Mandarin or Cantonese that for me makes a difference. Now, again, this is not my horn to blow. I'm not the one that's hurt. It's just a pet peeve for mine because if it's just a small step we can take to kind of understanding and respecting that culture. And so it bugs me. Anyway, let's we can move on. Can we talk real quick about the last, the closer in this episode
they
is
say
Kenneth.
Without the captions over it, you mean?
Yes.
And there's
yes.
no translation?
Yeah, no, I love, did you get the captions?
So I was looking online because they don't
did someone,
the,
oh, did someone translate
well,
it?
There's a lot of like speculation as to what it was. Cause there was like this whole argument. Well, she said this and well, the tone was this. And so it might've meant this, like this whole
it's
back and forth thing.
Cause obviously we all can tell the difference between Mandarin and Cantonese,
of course.
Mandarin of course has four tones and one non-tone. So technically five tones, Cantonese nine, if you will. So it's complicated and we can all hear it.
Yes.
I do have to say that when you start studying Mandarin, look, I know that Mandarin is really hard and you'd especially think that for somebody who looks like Don Draper. That was me doing one of those backdoor things. Is that what it is? One of those backdoor things.
You did a great backdoor brag.
Backdoor
brag. I didn't even notice
because
it was so true.
Yeah. Now I'm explain bragging, which is surprising coming from somebody.
Going back to like the Yakuza 0 thing earlier, my friend John is playing it because he's learning Japanese. And so while he's playing it, like he doesn't pick up on everything because of the dialect they're using, whatever. But he'll be like walking around the city and he'll be like, tobacco. Like he can like spot certain words because of the Japanese that he's learned so
that's
far.
That's cute.
That's awesome.
Well, what are they saying
so
in the Beijing?
According to Wikipedia and all the other ones, it's about the same, give or take a little bit. But it sounds like the lady says... In Mandarin, Kenneth, I like you because I'm attracted to your two healthy kidneys. Kenneth goes, what? And the guy breaks down the door with a gun. He says, I had no idea. So does Kenneth lose his kidneys?
Wait, what did he say? I had no... The guy yells, I had no idea?
No, Kenneth says, I had no idea.
Oh, Lucy Liu is organ farming him.
It wasn't Lucy Liu.
That's not Lucy Liu?
No.
That looked just like Lucy Liu to me. Oh, no, I'm going to have to cut that out. No, I'm not
okay,
joking.
Yeah,
I really
looked
thought.
Like Lucy Liu.
No, I genuinely thought that was because she reminds me so much. Now I'm just Instagram. I'm going to do this. Oh, damn it. Because she looks just like she does in the X-Files. I always thought that was a fun cameo moment.
It's not her.
Oh, damn it.
She's this lady, though, is like, I was like, this is a beautiful woman. Why haven't I seen her in other things?
Yeah.
That's a response I had.
I'm going to find her.
I do want to say that when he said what? Shema?
Huh?
There we go. You got that.
I got that. I knew it.
I'm going to find out who this woman is.
I knew a bunch of different things that he said. Not a big deal. But that's, I think it's great that he had this kind of James Bondian thing. But it was just for
I wanted her to be holding grapes over his mouth type of thing. Like that would have just been.
Damn it, guys. It's so not her. It's Ming Zhou. damn it. Really that? Because she looks
you
so much.
You said that and I went, how did I not look that up?
No, it literally because she looks just Lucy Liu's in an X-Files episode that feels like this where there's organ farming.
Is she really in that
like
episode,
is that
though?
San Francisco one?
Yes, it is
with
Lucy
the lottery?
I'm positive because BD Wong is in it too, I'm pretty
that's
sure.
Right. And that lottery, I remember seeing that when I was like 9 or 10 and I never... It always stayed with me for some reason.
Yeah, it's a great
one.
They
knock over the vase or vase at the end, and it's just filled with, like, they show that it's rigged or something like that.
Yeah, it is. It's a great episode of X-Files.
Because it's not supernatural. It's just like, oh, this is an organ. This is just a...
It's a lot of times. It's not supernatural. It's just a really sad story.
Great.
X-Files is so good.
Okay, so then the last storyline to talk about is Liz.
Mm-hmm.
So she realizes, because Tracy makes a comment to her that she might have... missed her period.
Yep.
And she might be pregnant. And so she starts looking at
Tracy's
her calendar.
Very connected to women in general.
Uh-oh, emotions.
So. I love sensitive Tracy moments. They crack me up.
Yeah.
This also has one of her, Jenna's great lines, which is, somebody's pregnant. That means they're going to have more, somebody's going to have more attention than me.
She's right? So
like,
good.
That was a great joke.
Yeah, it is. It's
so,
a great joke.
Jenna.
They always have a handle on that character, I think, almost more than the others. Like, she's so good.
I love you get Liz at her desk with like 97 different birth control containers.
Yeah, her system is real faulty. It's not good.
Sheree walks in and says, I think you're supposed to take all those in a row. And I'm realizing she probably meant like each day you take one, but I thought it was Sheree being airhead Sheree and be like, you just pop them all in at the
same
time.
That's what I always thought about that joke until this time too. That's exactly what happened.
I guess she would probably be sexually active enough to like, she's got this part of
it. No, the joke is that she's such an airhead, she assumes Liz doesn't know what to do. But I had always thought the joke was she's so stupid she doesn't know how to take birth control.
Right.
But the other thing is what the joke is. And I just figured that out this time.
Yeah. Well, and I was wondering too, because Liz makes a comment where she's been sexually active since she was 25. How old is Sheree? Is Sheree like, I'm 24?
Yeah, how old is Sheree?
I don't know how old Sheree is.
I don't know. I'm just still stunned. I'm just learning a lot about birth control and how it works.
You're not supposed to take them. You're all Tic Tac.
That's changing soon.
Well, I'm sorry. I just grew up in a education system
guys, too,
sponsored by Cooter administration.
Cooter Burger. Cooter Burger had.
No, I'm joking. I know. I've taken it before. But no, I don't know how old.
My alarm is set. I'm fine.
I know every day when to take it.
I know when to take it.
Oh man, no, poor Liz. Bad system. It's honestly shocking she hasn't already gotten pregnant.
Right,
with how she's doing this.
I love though the whole thing with Liz's storyline. I love her just calling Jack.
I just love that. Sorry, I just started to interrupt. I just love that being. It's honestly shocking that she hasn't gotten pregnant by now. It's just like a funny way to describe somebody, like a description, like if, because you know what, I'm gonna take that and I'm gonna put it in a action line in a script. It's like, it's kind of crazy she isn't pregnant.
I'm almost finished with Rachel Dratch's autobiography, and she's ending it talking about like having her son, and she talks about how her method of birth control her whole life has been the pullout method. And she was like, I was thinking about like, I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened before then, but now I'm 44, so I didn't think we'd even really have to worry about it. But
interesting. Nope. Still
dangerous. Apparently 70% effective or something.
Apparently.
Yeah. It's not worth it.
No.
It's a passing grade though.
So,
but it won't get you into Harvard.
No, well, it's a gentleman's C, is what it is.
Jenna assumes that if Liz is pregnant, that it's Floyd's, since Floyd was just in town. But if we remember
well, we
before
saw that,
that
there was nothing happened.
Nothing happened there. But before that, Dennis was back.
That shot where it's her being like, can you come upstairs to change some light bulbs? And he just turns to
look the
camera.
It's
so good. I just love Dennis so. Dean Winters all day, every day.
But I don't
so
want Liz to have a Dennis baby. Like, I love Dean Winters and Dennis's character, but I don't want a Dennis
baby.
He's
way too handsome for what a dirtbag he is. Like, I sat there watching him like, this guy in real life would not look like that. He is very handsome. I'm a big Dean Winters fan.
He's great.
He wins everything for me, and I love Dennis. We're big Duffy heads on this podcast.
That's good.
So he's real great.
Sounds like you guys are a bunch of dummies.
Said affectionately.
Look at that.
Can we also remember that Jenna keeps not one, but obviously four different pregnancy tests in her dressing room? Because that's where Liz goes to get the pregnancy test. She goes into Jenna's dressing room, pulls out a pregnancy test, and then the next thing she's holding up four positive. So Jenna has more than one pregnancy test just in her dressing
hanging
room
around.
For whenever.
Just hanging around.
Seems responsible.
Yeah.
I guess, but yeah. I wrote in all caps too. I don't understand.
Maybe.
And I know this is a thing people do. I don't understand carrying around your pregnancy test with you afterwards. Like, you peed on that. I think it's gross. Like, take a picture of it and then throw it away.
It seems to be what people do.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I got the foldable type. It'll fit right. I think that's gross. I don't want you to.
No,
when you
no,
tell
that's
me you're
not
pregnant,
what the joke was,
I'm not
Kelsey.
Looking for proof. I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I am.
But this is a thing. Like, I've literally had other people like carry around. I've seen this happen. I'm like, I will believe you. I don't need to see the stick that tells me you're pregnant or not. Like, I'm going to assume you're not lying about this.
Okay, never mind. I'll drop it. I wanted to make sure. The way you talked about it, did you understand that his joke was him peeing on his wallet? Not fitting a pregnancy test into his
wallet?
No,
I did not.
That's
get
what
that.
I was trying
got
to
it.
Explain
got
to
it.
You.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, you're like, no, I get it. I'm like, no, wait, I'm not sure you
that
did.
That part, got it. That
you were talking. It's why.
I do also love the idea that I'm like a 50s man who like has one of those long wallets that I put into my breast. Kind of. Like, here's my cards.
I was like,
showing off with my
one.
Wife when I take the train back to Rye or Ossining because I'm a madman.
I just like that you
like, I get it. It's foldable. Like, I know, Kelsey. That's not. Oh God.
Wait. So, but people, hold on. I want to so get into good. This because yes. I've never seen
a pregnancy test.
No, not one.
After it had been confirmed
positive.
Pregnancy.
Yeah. I. Yeah.
Oh,
I've
no,
just
I,
seen
I,
a lot of them that are confirmed. No. Hold on. Here's the point.
Yeah.
Do people go up to you at work with?
I'm not saying complete. I've literally
pregnancy.
Had a friend's girlfriend that we were at Starbucks and said, I'm pregnant. And I was like, what? And she pulled, not what? And I was like, I don't believe you, but oh my gosh. And she pulled out the pregnancy test out of her purse.
I would have, that would have been better if she was like,
okay,
pulled out the pregnancy
can
test.
Can you wash
and then
it
just
afterwards?
No, and then just
and
like,
the mark thing
stood
is
there.
Regardless. I don't.
Made eye contact you with you like a dog and then just peed on it, staring at your face. And I was just like, don't believe me.
That's like a scene from Orange is the New Black.
This is real.
That's pretty good. Next time.
And then pulled it out and was like, wait a minute.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Just stare, mad dogging you the whole time.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Just like.
No, that's not a thing.
Window to window is like, my mystery has.
Gross.
My mystery has a miracle.
Oh, my gosh.
I would say that that's how that works. Also, again, you could just Instagram it, as I'm sure everybody does.
I know.
As
but
they
even
do.
Then, I don't
like,
want
that's
to
like a good use of Instagram.
I, Kelsey, you're not alone. I thought about this too. And I'm like, oh, you put that in pee. All right.
Yeah, like,
I mean, it's not in the
away.
World, but it's
like,
okay.
Maybe save it for you and like, but you don't need to show it to people. Like, I can understand the sentimental value of like, maybe saving it, put it in a Ziploc bag and like, pour it. But also, what are you going to do to tell your kid about when they're 16? Like, remember, like, nobody wants to see that.
I feel the same way about my when I see Instagrams of jailhouse cocaine. It's like, I know that was in a bud.
All those jailhouse
cocaine. All those jailhouse
instas.
Cocaine. I know that.
Those instas.
Is there a Cokes of Jail like Instagram?
I'm Coke sure.
Of jail?
Yeah, exactly.
Work on that, Kelsey.
Yeah,
if you can't find it, you make it.
I don't want people sending me pictures of butt coke.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this storyline is just her calling Jack. Because I think that's such
it's
a sign
really
of
sweet.
Their friendship. Like, they know are no longer coworkers or employee boss. Like, they are just friends at this point. And she's like,
things are happening.
When something's happening, Jack is the person she's calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I love at the end when he's listening to all the voicemails and he keeps almost eating the pizza. And that he shows up at her door at the end is just like my favorite.
It's so beautiful. I just love that the show always comes back to them. It always comes back to this relationship
yeah.
and how like good of friends they are and how much they care about each other. And it's always, I don't know, it's just such a safe relationship. There's never... I had a friend I've talked about before. She really thought they were going to end up together. Drove me nuts. There's no will they, won't they. It's just like, this is a really good, safe thing that helps. And they are
yeah.
good for each other. And they're able to encourage each other. And it's just really beautiful, I think. And it just gives that heart and warmth that pushes you through past all the absurdism. It's so
yeah.
it's just so warm. I don't know. I love it.
It's good.
I love that ending.
I agree.
Yeah?
I could undercut it. I could do something silly. But I want to say, it's like, no, it's nice that that's just like, oh, no, they have this... mentor-mentee relationship
yeah.
mm-hmm. And that it they're I like their dynamic
yeah
I have to say about these two past episodes really like them a lot but
oh what you gonna say Joe
it's just not that much Jack in it you know like not much Jack in it although that was his nickname right
mm-hmm. the jacker ugh.
It's like I love her coming into his office and him just burning.
Yeah.
Just doing, what's it called? Savage roasts.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really nice, this kind of arc, bringing them back together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love him just like that. He can still go straight into like, I still you're still eating Saborda Soledad. Like, yeah, but they taste so good or whatever. Mm-hmm. She pulls it out from underneath her couch.
Yeah.
because Saborda for people Soledad. Listening, that's why she had a positive pregnancy test
yeah.
because of the chips.
Yeah, yeah the bull semen.
Yeah.
Evaporated bull semen. Oh, let's be clear about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a bull semen reduction, if you will. Demi-glaz.
Oh, God. She's like, women in Mexico use it to stop their periods.
Mm-hmm.
Bleak. Yeah, poor Liz, but it's good. We have a moment. We have a future we're heading towards.
Yep.
Her desire to have a child, and
yep.
she's going to take action in it.
And her adoption thing. Can I please tell you, I posted this on my Instagram yesterday.
I saw that photo.
Okay, so I am involved in the marching band world here in Southern California.
Cool.
And right now, specifically with the drumline and Winter Guard worlds, which is flags and rifles and all this stuff. And there was a a show, and it was the second time I've seen it, that they start performing and they're performing to Somebody to Love, the Queen song, right? Like, it's always a romance song, and other groups do that song every year, and it's a boy and a girl, blah, blah, blah. And the kids all come out in rags. Like, they're just, and I was like, oh, it's like Little Orphan Annie. And at the end of it, there's these backdrops around it. It's, I've been in foster care for X amount of days, finally adopted, found my family. And you're like, Somebody to Love, they're looking for a family. Both times, sobs, wow. Tears. It's so, like, and it takes a lot for a guard show to get to me because I've seen so many of them. But that one, like, both times I've seen it at the end, I have tears in my eyes because adoption has a special place in my heart. But just, I've never thought of that song in that type of environment before, or just about that other than just actual romance love. Yeah. And that was just like pure, like, oh my gosh, it was beautiful. And so I was,
and in a way I think that's, if we're gonna, not to whatever, but if you're gonna rank love, it's like, yeah, that's better.
Yeah,
like people are like,
right?
Oh, I want to find somebody to be like my life partner, but like, find a family.
Yeah
That's just you and your romantic stories, get out of here.
Right, you can find that any place.
You can find that anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually how season two starts.
Yeah, it's
season
adoption
three,
plotline.
Season three.
It's a good one.
With Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the end of season two.
Woo! I can't believe we did it.
This is
we got
exciting.
Through two seasons now.
Yeah.
So it's like five more to go.
Just a couple more.
Five more to
five
go.
More. Right. You
do
got it.
We, any, sorry, that got real deep.
By the time you're done with it, the Netflix reunion of 30 Rock
the goal.
Seven
up.
Seasons in a movie.
No. I'm pushing for a Christmas episode.
Oh.
I want a Christmas episode. I just want like a Christmas special, hour long. I want it to be Tracy trying to find the meaning of Christmas, and I want everyone else to be there.
And it's at a werewolf bar mitzvah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. I got a problem about that. That's my goal. That's my dream. So I just want to, and I want to be in the background like the Gilmore Guys, just on my cell phone.
Yes.
That'd
I know,
great.
Right?
It's a dream.
I just need to just be there on set.
Yeah. But we just want to chill.
Anything else we missed about this, or any favorite lines? How about?
That's a good noise. Oh, I like that bit where Cooter Burger, this is a weird moment, I'm going to talk about it. It's probably not my favorite line, but Cooter Burger is like, Jack's on his phone, Cooter Burger goes, cool phone. And it's just such an indicative
moment. It's a BlackBerry Pearl.
No, I know. And here's the thing, but that's the thing is, Cooter, they're so locked off and they're so bad that he looks at a BlackBerry Pearl and he's like, cool phone.
Yeah.
Like, it's just how bad it is there. That's what I got from the joke.
It's
is
good,
that reasonable?
Yeah.
No.
It's so funny.
Use of dialogue.
It's two words and it says so much, I felt. I thought it was really good writing.
We also have to say this line gets thrown all over Facebook right now too. Every time somebody gets to this episode and one of the ones two episodes ago or three, that they're like, oh my gosh, Jack Donaghy and Donald Trump are the same, because this is where he's
we
like,
wish Donald
we have
Trump
a chance
was Jack
to make,
Donaghy.
We have a chance
wish
to make
this
country
good.
Great again.
Yes.
So we get that just, line.
Oh, yeah. He says that. Yeah.
Let's make this country great again. Yep. Yeah.
That's fair.
That's been in the miasma for a while, that sentiment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite lines, I don't know if it's in this or the last episode, where she goes, youth.
Yes.
Oh, I think that is this episode, actually.
No, I think it's the last episode, but it was great. It's a great one.
But it reminded me, because I was like, oh, that's really good. Also because, one of those things that whenever it's a really good line, this is just me, but I'm like, how does that look on the page?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, not that funny. Or maybe
I was thinking
does.
About that too. Like, that must look so weird. I literally thought the same thing. Like, this would be so weird in a script to just have a bunch of young people walk by. Youths. Liz runs away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Although, actually, it makes a lot more sense when you say, actually, like, a bunch of kids walk by.
You were just thinking,
panicked.
Yeah.
I was just like, a turn. There goes that. But yeah, I really like that. But also because it occurs to me that youth, because it's like there's that other famous meme of Steve Buscemi going around like, hey, youths. Like,
yep.
Hey, fellow youths. Kids doing? What are the kids up to these days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think he uses youths.
Hey, fellow youths, I think.
Hey, fellow youths. But the idea of youths also as a kind of the word for like youngsters instead of like an old person saying, I like that.
I like that a lot too.
The right way of clunky.
Mm-hmm. I love the line when they're in D.C. and they're talking about things they need to do, and the one senator or general, whoever, says, I can't support that. Damn is a swear word. I'd support it if instead of damn, we called it a god finger.
That's really good.
Such a weird line.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I love it.
Also, the Mandarin of I will not fail Chief Aaron Boy, Tawny Lawson.
It's so good.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good. I think
great.
Peanut Farmer is really good.
Yeah.
It's a good line.
It is a good line.
Peanut farmer.
What is Tracy Jordan doing this episode?
He gives the porn video game to Frank, and that's about it.
Yeah, they're recording, and then he's okay. We'll start recording now.
And then he asks Liz, "Emotions? Yeah. Is it your lady time or whatever?"
It's amazing how much Tracy triggers all the actions in episodes. It's actually really common that he is usually he moves the plot almost more than I think in any of the other side characters. Not as much as obviously Liz and Jack, but yeah. I would say definitely number three. He moves the story.
Sure, because he wants things.
He wants things, and you also don't have to explain what he does as much, I think. So he can just set something in motion because, like, well, it's Tracy. He's weird. He'll just do something, and that gets you where you want. He's kind of like a magic. He's like a magic button in the show. He's his own Deus Ex Machina or whatever.
Yeah. Deus Ex Machina.
I never say it right. I always say Deus. But he's like the show's own. Oh, sorry. I should have closed that.
That's fine.
Hold whatever. For Blaine.
But yeah, no. Ah, it's a good episode. It's and we're really done with episode. The season. Woo-hoo! Season 2 was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the show.
Me too. Thank you so much for being with us again today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming and thinking deep thoughts on the couch.
Oh, thank you guys for psychoanalyzing me.
Anytime.
And
we'll send you a bill.
Of course. Just send it to my parents because they're the ones who made it that way.
Where can people find you online, Joe?
And anything's coming up.
Yeah. Well, when does this one air?
This one's the next week, so you should still do your show.
Yeah, this will come up.
I mean, I'll still do it whether or not it's.
God.
Oh, boy.
This will come out the 11th.
Oh, great. So if you heard this when it came out, because I'm sure you did, because you live Talk 30 Rock to Me to Talk 30 Rock to Me. That's how you set your.
Our what do we call them? Rockheads?
Yeah.
No.
Kelsey doesn't like that.
Shut that down. Shut it down.
The rockheads are pretty intense about getting the episodes as soon as possible.
Please do not call yourself rockhead.
It's happening. Now I'm doing it just to annoy Kelsey. No. So fun. Anyway.
I think it's great.
Yeah. So when's you have a show coming up?
Yeah, the 14th, Friday Friday at Nerdist. Mm-hmm. Nerdist School Stage, 7518 West Sunset Boulevard.
Damn.
The original late night talk show with Joe Carden. We are going to have an amazing show with guest and stand-up and musical act. So that's for you guys to insert.
We get there, yeah.
As soon as we get there. But also, and then also on the 15th, it's going to be streaming on the Nerdist streaming channel. That'll be our next episode
of
that.
Yay, exciting.
So that's on Alpha Network, so be sure to check that out there.
Yeah, it's real cool.
Every Tuesday at 9 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
The Palace.
Cool.
Chinese restaurant in Los Feliz.
Eat some food, get to see some comedy.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Free show. Finest in free Tuesday night comedy in the attic of a Chinese restaurant that you'll find anywhere. On Hillhurst. And
on the one street.
Yeah, on the one street.
They're everywhere now, though. So.
Oh, my God. And Tuesday night's jam-packed. Mm-hmm. So I really like to specify that. And on Twitter, Joe Carden. On Instagram, Jay Cardo.
Ooh.
And then, get this, on YouTube, I believe it's Jay Carden.
Mm.
Okay.
So
I
gotta really consolidate that.
You gotta work that out, dude.
But it's, no, those are my, like, again,
they're gonna
make
some up.
I think the last episode, it's my Garth Brooks. Mm-hmm. I got three different personas. Yep. I got Garth Brooks, Chris Gaines, and Meredith Brooks.
The branding person.
Those are my three identities. Each of them gives you something a little different.
You definitely are the Garth Brooks of Franklin Village, so I'm glad we came to. I'm glad we figured that out.
Thank you. And by that, you mean just irrelevant. I love it.
Boo. Perfect. Well, you can find me at Kimchi Lucas.
You can find me at Redheaded Blonde.
And we can find all those stuff
at turd. Sorry, at turd. You're gonna get all
Kelsey,
these
Kelsey, just take it. Just take it. I can't
talk
do it.
30 Rock to Me. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook.
You can email us at talk30rocktome@gmail.com. Do it.
Those are fun to get. Also, reviews are fun too.
Mm-hmm.
So do that.
Yeah, do it. We love reviews. It makes us happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tweet at us too. That's always fun. Kelsey sends me screenshots of whatever you people tweet, and it makes me so happy.
You guys
happy.
Are very, very nice to us.
Everyone's very nice. We haven't had anyone. Don't be mean. Don't be mean because of this, but like,
well,
it's been really great.
That's okay. It's been great.
Thanks for everyone being nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and yeah. Bye.
guys, we just really quickly want to tell you that we're taking a month off in between season 2 and season 3. So instead of a new episode next week, we don't have a new episode until Tuesday, May 9th.
Yeah, we'll be back. I promise we're not abandoning you. We will be right back. Just going to take a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, just a little hiatus before we hit the amazing episodes of season 3.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. The season 3 is one of the great seasons. I say this about every season, but really season 3.
It's been great. We've got new episodes. We are going to have some fun guests.
Oh, we've got some great guests. So it's going to be, we're just going to be fun.
It'll be great.
You're going to have fun.
Right. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.